Believer's Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
1 Timothy chapter 3. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory.
You answered the call and obeyed God's command. He sent you here, we know you're in His hand. Your message from the Word searches all the very soul. We've seen your faithfulness, and we want you to know. Pastor, we love you. We appreciate all you do. And God sees the sacrifice you've made for Jesus Christ. You pray. And God leads them to the cross. And we know one day you'll hear your father say, my child, well done. My child, well done.
Lesson 193, Elders of the Church. In our last lesson, we were learning about the important responsibility of prayer in the church, and also how men and women are to conduct themselves in church gatherings. Today, we will tackle the important subject of leadership for the local church. This is important because many in the modern church have adopted a form of church leadership that is not authorized by God in the Bible. So let's learn the proper leadership that God wants for His church and obey Him. When telling Timothy about proper conduct in the church, he now tackles the subject of leadership in the local church. He will speak about the qualifications for both elders and deacons. The first thing we should notice about this chapter and what it teaches about leadership in the church is that the responsibility of leadership does not fall on one single individual, but on a group of men, whom the Bible refers to as elders. Deacons also are leaders, but their responsibilities are different from those of elders. Deacons look to the elders for the spiritual leadership of the local church. The qualifications for elders are listed, and though we do not have time to discuss each qualification, we can note some important things about these qualifications. For instance, almost all the qualifications deal with a man's character and not his education or experience. Both education and experience may play an important role in preparing a man to serve in leadership in the local church, but the most important qualifications are his godly conduct and character. The elders must be men who have a desire to shepherd God's flock. Motivation to serve Christ is absolutely essential and the first qualification mentioned. When Peter addresses elders in his first epistle, he tells them they should not be motivated to serve for money, but to have a willing heart to feed and nurture the church. This simple qualification would likely rule out many pastors today who live very richly from their ministry. Only two of the qualifications refer to the elders' work, namely, able to teach and lovers of strangers. These two qualifications help us to understand that the elders' work involves teaching the Word of God and taking interest in people. Some teachers are very good at explaining the Word, but lack that personal, pastoral spirit that cares for the individuals in the flock. Then there are those who have a caring pastoral heart, but lack the teaching skills to feed the flock. Both are required of an elder for the local church. The other qualifications will teach us that the elder is to be a man of the highest moral character, with a good and well-ordered family life, business life, and church life. He should be a man who is serious, dedicated to the Lord, and not running after money or worldly things. He needs to have a family that respect him and respect the things of God. He also must have maturity in the faith so he does not get lifted up with pride and fall into the devil's trap. When selecting men to oversee the spiritual care of the church, time should be taken to consider each qualification listed in 1 Timothy 3. It is grievous to see how many churches have developed a leadership structure for their church which fails to follow God's clear instruction here in Scripture. Having one pastor of the church and other deacons and elders as though they rank on a lower scale of authority in the church is a great travesty. This will leave the church in the hands of one man holding on to authority that was never issued to him from Christ, and distorts the New Testament model for the local church. Elders are always mentioned as more than one when referred to in the New Testament, and so we should be careful to ensure that our local churches are led by a plurality of qualified elders and not a single pastor. Deacons are those who support the elders by handling much of the practical affairs of the church, such as finances, visiting widows, and administration of various ministries. Elders oversee and make final decisions on spiritual matters for the church. The deacons have been delegated authority and responsibilities that the elders would find difficult to handle without neglecting their primary responsibility to pray and teach the Word of God. Deacons, like elders, are to be of the highest character, but they do not share the same qualifications for teaching or loving strangers, since that is not their primary sphere of responsibility. It is important to notice that both elders and deacons must have supportive, wise, and orderly children. Without this, they are disqualified, for the Scripture says, if they cannot order their own home, how can they lead the church? Deacons also are to be first tested and proven able to handle responsibilities in the church. It is never wise to take a novice or someone rather new to the church and hand over some important responsibility like handling of finances. This is only asking for problems and putting temptation before those who may have not proven their godly character. A deacon must hold on to doctrine with a pure conscience, so that they can prove to be a sincere help and example for the church. Paul explains the reasons for this writing was so believers would know how to behave in the household of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. This tells us that the church is of the greatest importance to God, and should be important to us also, since the church upholds the truth of God. The governing of the church by godly people is one important way that people can see the gospel and the character of God. In fact, this great revelation of God living within His people is seen by Christ living in His body, the church, and the Holy Spirit authenticating the life of Christ in believers. Angels look on in wonder at Christ living in God's children. Christ is also made known through the church to all nations, so that many turn to the Lord in faith. Just as Christ was raised up, the church also will be raised into the glory, and with this hope in their hearts, they live a life of godly devotion. The church itself is therefore a message to the world and to angels. Therefore, how the assembly is led is not just a matter of our own preference, but of showing the character of God in our lives and learning from godly, mature brothers who devote themselves to caring for God's people. Not all Christians are elders, but everyone should aspire to the same godly character of elders. Deacons are not elders, but elders will be deacons, for they serve the body of Christ. They bear the additional responsibility to oversee the church and teach the word, and are therefore called elders. This name marks their maturity in Christ and is not meant to be a title of distinguishing honor. Moses was a great leader for Israel and can certainly be referred to as an elder, but we never read of Elder Moses or Elder Paul in the Bible. Their name and character qualified them to be known as mature and able leaders. It is a true saying that if someone wants to be an elder, he desires an honorable responsibility. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1.
In the still quiet place, on your knees in prayer, God sees your tears, He hears the burdens you bear. The Lord's by your side, blesses all that you do. Through the good and bad times, He'll see you through. Pastor, we love you. We appreciate all you do. And God sees the sacrifice you've made for Jesus Christ. You And we know one day you will hear your father say, my child, well done, my child.
And now for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we learned about leadership in the local church and the qualifications of both elders and deacons. These are men of excellent moral character and spirituality who are willing to serve the body of Christ. Someone might ask the question, how does the church go about selecting or removing elders? While Timothy is given a list of qualifications for elders in the local assembly, Paul does not give him any further instructions on how to go about the process of selecting or removing elders. It is clear that the list of qualifications given to Timothy was intended to help Timothy give guidance to the church for selecting men who were qualified to lead the church. We also learn from the book of Titus that Paul had instructed Titus to appoint elders in every church on the island of Crete. Titus, like Timothy, was a missionary whom Paul had invested much time teaching and in whom he could place his trust. Paul knew he was able to help the churches identify and approve those who were elders. Timothy or Titus certainly had the spiritual maturity and insights to be able to point out those men who were qualified to serve as elders. Perhaps that is what they did, but it may also be the case that these servants of God simply pointed out to the congregations those whom they felt were qualified and then allowed the church to confirm the recognition of these men. In Acts chapter 6, the apostles were led by the Holy Spirit to instruct the church to select men for serving the needs of widows. It is clear that the apostles did not simply dictate to the church whom they thought fit to serve in the church, but rather trusted the Holy Spirit to guide the whole church to cooperatively recognize those who were qualified to serve. Since there is no clear guidelines for how elders are selected and put into place, the church must be cautious to use biblical principles to guide the process, though the process may vary from church to church. It would be wise to have the present elders help direct the selection of new elders. This has to be done cautiously and with transparency before the church, so as not to allow elders to select those whom they favor. Elders should be impartial, but since they are mere men, we know they can falter in their judgments at times. Thus it would seem wise to employ the whole church in the process of selecting elders. If the church is walking in fellowship with the Lord, and the elders exhibit some spiritual depth, then it should not take long for the whole church to come to an agreement as to those who meet the qualifications. A church should take time to ensure that they select the right individuals, for if someone is selected who is not really qualified, it could cause much grief to the church through their mishandling of leadership. The church is not to be run like a democracy, for not every opinion or vote can be weighted the same. Some are more mature and some have more discernment, and so their contribution should be weighted more heavily than those who are just new to the faith. Godly elders who guide the process of selection will try to ensure that the person meets all the qualifications and the church has given their agreement. Perhaps the elders will recommend certain individuals to the church and ask the church to confirm or question their judgment before a final decision is reached. This helps to ensure that the selection is under the control of the Holy Spirit and not just men. What about removing an elder who no longer fits the qualifications? If the process of selection is handled by the whole church, then it stands to reason that everyone should have some say in who and when an elder should be removed from their responsibilities. Once an elder has been appointed, it is difficult for others to question them, because Scripture requires that we respect and obey them. Discerning believers will know that their obedience and submission to elders is to be honored until an elder is clearly in violation of God's word. Any believer who sees an elder sinning should take the matter before the other elders or before witnesses to establish the facts. He must be given the benefit of the doubt, not accusing of sin unless the evidence is undeniable. The potential damage to the man and the church means that Christians must be certain before bringing any accusation against an elder. An elder might be challenged and refuse to step down. Depending on the nature of the sin, church members will have to weigh out the consequences of the situation. If an elder is sinning and will not repent, he will need to be put under discipline. The church and its elders must be willing to stand up against evil, even when it is found in one of their leaders. Paul warned the Ephesian elders that grievous wolves would arise from among themselves, not sparing the flock. Therefore, the church must be ready to handle such situations. If the whole leadership is corrupt and will not repent, then a believer might choose to leave the church and look for another fellowship where the leadership is not in rebellion against God. This should be a very last resort, for God would have us seek for correction, discipline, and restoration rather than division. It is a sad fact that leaders fail and sometimes refuse correction. If the church is careful to select only qualified men as elders, then hopefully future problems can be avoided. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948. Or, if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
In the whispers of the wind I hear your voice, gently calling me to love and giving me the choice to choose between a life unknown where you will lead the way, or follow earthly trends that will surely pass away. Lord, you know I love you, so what is your plan? In the silence of the music I hear your command. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, bring the weary home to me. Be the eyes for the blind to see the truth. Spread the word, I am here. Bring good news to those in fear. I have loved you since the world began. Be my shepherd, feed my lambs. Christ the Master Teacher shows the way, washing others' feet is how to live out all our days. Neither slave nor master, neither rich nor the poor, is greater than the one we were created for. Lord, you know I love you, so what is your plan? In the silence of the music I hear your command. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, bring the weary home to me. Be the eyes for the blind to see the truth.
though